All right.
Okay.
It is 10 a.m. and we are recording.
Good morning, everyone. It's May 5th, 2026, and it's 10 a.m. All persons present at district meetings will place their cellular devices in silent and or vibrate mode. During meetings, these devices will be used only for emergency purposes. If used, the party called, calling will exit the meeting room for conversation. Other electronic and internet-enabled devices are to be used in the silent mode. Under no circumstances will recording devices or problems associated with them be permitted to interrupt or delay district meetings. Okay, so call to order. Nobody's here except us attending the meeting. Diane Fleet, Amelia Wilder, Linda Butler, John Merchant, Cecilia Min, and Travis Bohannon. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And there's no public.
So Diane and I just, no public comment. Mm-hmm. Diane and I have been learning a lot about our audio system from our technician from ITS. And so he said that if we go like this, he said that because people want to talk down, so if we talk down into the microphone, we'll have a much down, yes.
Like that?
Yeah, more. That we'll have a better
reception.
Uh-huh. Go.
Does it go down further? Oh, I was afraid I was going
to
break.
See, then we're going to be able to.
Right.
Well, Amelia and Travis, it's kind of no problem hearing us.
Yes. Hello there.
Hello there. Yeah, but like.
Okay. My name's Johnny Cash.
If you'd like to sing, I Gotta Be Me, go right ahead.
Well, that's great.
So, yes. Yes.
Because I've been frustrated all the time. Even sitting up here, sometimes I can't hear Patrick.
Or Randy. So
yeah.
That's going to be our new go-to.
And
he said we don't need new microphones. We just need to speak correctly into these microphones.
And make sure that the podium ones are.
Yeah, see? We've got it already.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
And
thank
we
you.
Have also started audio and visual recording of this meeting. Mm. So it's our pilot, our test subject. So hopefully we'll be putting video on the website too. Smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does everybody
okay? Ready? We're going to get into that more with the communications committee meeting. Item 3, discussion item, new job descriptions and positions. A, staff and senior accountant job descriptions.
That's me.
Would you like to?
Yes, I'm waiting for the.
Thank you, Cecilia.
He doesn't like
you. Were you looking at me? Or
no, that? No. Cecilia's going to talk about
for
it.
For the PDF.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
We froze in there, so.
Was working.
Okay, can I print you up a packet, John?
No, I'm okay.
Yeah, perfect. We have no audience anyway.
Two more days. That's all. 2 more days.
And then you'll be able to see.
I won't need that board anymore.
So, staff recommend the following changes. Number one, the job description title of accounting technician FTE number 3 to staff accountant. And we'll go through the job description change in a moment. And the second is change the job description to and title of an accountant to senior accountant. And number 3, addition of another FTE senior accountant. So I've given the background in why we need to make the change for each of the posts. And we've gone through it, you know, in the finance committee of why. And then the conclusion there is staff recommend that the personnel committee or the board approve the proposed change to position title and the addition of the senior accounting position. So basically, in a nutshell, you know, our AP position is doing AP, but I want to expand that role to add on other accounting related tasks. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm changing it to a staff accountant so that I can add more tasks to the existing FTE. The second post is senior accountant. As you know, as I discussed in the last finance committee, there are a lot of tasks that were never done in the past 10 years. And if I push everything into my existing FTE, he will not survive. So we need another FTE to do. If you can go to the next PDF file, I'm sorry, the next few slides. And we've gone through these in the Finance Committee. The next one, please. These are the tasks that we haven't really consistently done for the past 10 years. And that's why we're doing the audits to redo them. So it's important that we have a person doing that monthly and consistently. And I'm thinking that I'm going to be adding this position not July, but maybe after the audit is done.
Yeah.
So probably fall to December.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my budget right now has included 12 months of it, so I'm going to reduce it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay,
and,
so.
And it's going to be after we
finish
let go
all
of the
audits.
Temporary people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that by fall to December, that person will come in so that I can have transition. So now let's look at the job description for the AP turn staff accountant. I think it's next page. Can you go to the one that we crossed off, which is previous pages? Yep, you're in the right track. Keep
mm-hmm.
going.
I'm just.
Okay, so this one, if you can make it a little bit bigger, I can't see. Okay, so basically, the cross means I'm taking it out. From the first line underneath the big black line, which is summary, Diane, would you mind reading the first cross for me? The summary.
Here,
to what's been crossed
right
out?
Yeah, so to perform to perform professionally accounting and financial record work to assist in the preparation of financial statement documents and analysis. Your AP person do not provide professional accounting. Their role is to enter AP correctly in the system and do basic reconciliation. So that's why I crossed it off and then put the new summary, which is to ensure that vendor invoices, employee expenses, and payment are processed with precision. So that's really more appropriate for that position instead of doing professional accounting. That's not their role. And I have now put in to the second half of the job description all the actual responsibility of an AP person, if you go down. All those under AP categories are all the essential stuff that an AP person basically would be doing. And if you can move to the second page. And then this person would be also doing compliance and documentation. We have a lot of 1099 requirement. There's documents that we need and compile. That's under that responsibility. And the big thing is with this position, I want this person to do accounting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the monthly reconciliation list. And utility section, which is underneath, basically that person is not doing what my utility billing person is doing. It's just backup for that utility department. Now, if we can go to the next page, which is a clean copy, clean without all those strikes.
Let me go this way.
This is a better looking job responsibility. You can see clearly that to ensure the vendor invoices, employee expenses, and payment runs are processed with precision and vision while also contributing to the integrity of our general ledger through reconciliation journal entry month end activity. And I've changed to report to me instead of accounting supervisor. And the AP, I'm not going to go through each one, but those are basic things that an AP person will do, right? Vendor management, invoice management, payment processing, reconciliation, reporting. Pretty basic, but it wasn't mentioned in the previous job description. If you go to the second page, please, and compliance documentation, monthly reconciliation, utility, those are very basic things that my TEM is already doing, you know. So that's the new job description, which is it expand the role, the previous AP person only enter AP, and we don't have a lot of AP volume. We should fully utilize the one FTE.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my proposal. And this is already reviewed by HR to go. The next step is to, once this is approved, then I will forward that to the union to review on a different level. Now let's go to the, do you have any question before I go to the senior accountant? Can you make it much bigger? I can't see anything.
Much bigger.
Thank you. Okay, so I did not make any changes to the summary because it's pretty much, you know, what an accountant should do. Receive general supervision from me instead of accounting manager. And the job responsibility, perform general ledger accounting, monthly balance sheets reconciliation, prepare, review, monthly bank rec, and bank investment trust account accounting. Coordinate with other staff in preparation of the month-end closing, journal entry. Those are very accountancy description, but those are essential stuff that accountant should be doing. Previously, the accountant has been actually doing the data entry work.
Mm-hmm.
And not doing balance sheet reconciliation, what the Robert Half team is doing. Right. It's an additional step that we need to do instead of just entering the data into the general ledger and not look at it and go, is that right? So an accountant should be able to tell a story behind mm-hmm. the financial. They were not doing that. So I think it would be better if you can go to the clean copy. We can see the clean. So this is the clean copy, and essentially all the bullet point there are their job responsibility. And I one more thing is, I'm sorry, can you go back to the previous one that I the previous cross line one?
The red line.
Yeah. If you go down one more page. Okay, so towards the end of the first page, responsible for biweekly, can you make it a little bit bigger? So the last line, responsible for accurately and timely preparing for district payroll. This person, this accountant should not be preparing payroll, so I crossed it all out. Their only responsibility to make sure that the payroll is processed and gets into our GL code, into our book. Diane, please go to the next clean copy.
Try not to get dizzy.
Yeah, so this really describe what the accountant will be doing. Biweekly payroll expenditure related to the general ledger. Review the accounting coding from each of the AP batches. Assist with me on the budget preparation. I'm supposed to be doing the budget, but they will help.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to really look at the utility billing rates, reconcile, and do analysis. Because right now, when I'm looking at the billing numbers, they don't look right. But I don't have the time to really look at it. But that person, wait, it's actually two person, right? I'm going to split out the responsibility. Mm-hmm. One will be concentrating on revenue. One will be concentrating on expenses. But billing has a lot of things to do. Each time I turn around, I found out something's wrong, but I don't have the time to correct it. You know, so as I told you last month when we look at the reserve, it was reported every reserve monthly, it's 90K, but then it's some month only have $70,000. Doesn't make sense. Those are the analytical that I need the accountant to really drill down to find out what changed, why it comes out of that, and correct it. Because the reserve is important. If it's wrong, then our reserve is lower than expected. So those are the role changes that I want for the senior accountant. The reason why to bring it up to a senior accountant is to make sure that I attract the right quality of person. A senior have more experience and will be able to drive the bus better than junior staff. So now if you go to the next page, which is the Keep going.
No.
Where is the part that I show the pricing?
Let me go this way.
F. What are we missing? What are we looking for?
It's a cost. Search for what the salary should
cost,
be,
yeah.
The mm-hmm. cost. Keep going. Did I not send it to you?
Let's look. No. I don't know.
So basically, based on my research, I have an extra page that show what's the current MOU salary compared to what's the search that comes up with, and they're not that much different. It's just mm-hmm. a title change.
Okay.
Now the union next year will be putting a price on it. I have no control of it, but it will be around the same change.
Right here.
So can you go back to the previous? So that's the senior accountant currently. The highest in 2026 is 90,000, I think. And based on my search, which is in Google search, if you go down, it's about 95.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then if you go down to the second page of the AP person.
What are you, the AP
Yeah, this
person.
One, this one.
Oh.
So, yep, can you go up? Because that's the MOU pricing. The highest range is 77 for just doing AP. And remember, last time when we brought on the AP person, that person is not an AP person. It was security turned to AP, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we've been paying that person as an AP person.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I Google search the latest, it's about 79K, but I'm adding staff accountant as the title instead of AP person, and the staff accountant is 79. So 77, 79, it's not mm-hmm. a big change.
Minor change.
But so then I'll get more out from each FTE.
So if you hire a senior accountant mm-hmm. with a BA and 5 years of accounting experience, why would that be a represented employee?
So if I turn that person to be an accounting manager or accounting supervisor, then it would be management team. But
not
at this time, yeah, at this time I'm not doing that yet. But definitely for the growth of that person, it might be beneficial to keep that person and have them manage something.
Yeah,
so down the line.
The thing that stuck out to me is with someone that starts to get this level of experience and education, that you might want to put something in there that, you know, in your absence they do X.
Yeah.
You know, they act as manager or
right.
assist the general manager where necessary, blah blah blah.
Yes,
you know?
that's my thinking, to keep my staff that I have, because my post really needs to be more strategic to
mm-hmm.
think forecasting.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done anything to make sure that going forward 10 years we're positioned well. So I'll be, all the stuff that I'm doing, I'm hoping to give it to the senior accountant so that the senior accountant can really manage the whole utility billing accounting, know what to do before I, you know,
mm-hmm.
before I give it to them. But right now there's a lot of cleaning up to do for the utility conversion. The next year will be conversion. So there's a lot of cleanup and setup of the accounting system before I give it to them to be managing.
So what would be the downside of making that person underrepresented?
Well, there are certain milestones that they have to meet to be underrepresented, which is that they're managing people. I mean, off the top of my head, I could look it up really quick.
And that makes them, you know, puts them by California law somewhat closer to the exempt category.
Yeah, to be exempt and not represented.
Yeah, and is that envisioned on this job description? This person manages or not manages so much as supervises?
Not in this, but
okay.
down the line, yes, I have it
okay.
in here that it will be like
mm-hmm.
that, because I don't want to be reviewing all the escrow deposit, approving it. I don't want to do that. It will be that person managing all the adjustment inside, reviewing and turning over. This is the utility billing correctly. It's so, already reviewed.
So starting out and then subsequently as this moves on, does this person physically manage other accounting personnel?
Yeah.
And what's
and
the downside? What's the downside, for example, if you start them at this level, and then you want to move them up? What's the downside of how do? Is it a problem getting them, replacing that represented position with an unrepresented position?
Well, yeah, because we're going to have to fight with the union because they're going to say. Why? That employee is represented. They'll want to add another position to be that non-represented. Do you think so, Cecilia?
I'm not sure. I think if I don't progress that way, the two senior accountants will not stay. I will have to keep on hiring that level of accountant to come in. And it's important that we have good people on the seats.
How could we structure it or present it in the job description so that we don't have to go represented and then unrepresented where we would?
I don't think I can do that because right now I'm taking this to the union, and I don't want to promise my assistant that this is heading that way.
Right.
Although I have it in here. But I think the staff will welcome the growth. And if I tell the union that, you know, if we don't change it to that way, my staff cannot grow in terms of financially and their job responsibility. So why are we not? And at the same time, the front desk people, the staff accountant can grow too.
I'm not questioning your thought process because I think that's the way that it needs to be approached. I'm just questioning the complications and if there's some way that we can present this with a statement like future.
I think each job description represents the current.
Yeah.
Each job description represents current, and if we need to do an organization change of how we push it, that's a different topic.
I get it. I'm just trying to figure out how we could make sure that it's understood that this is a growth position. And that the position...
What I can do is I can talk to the union about this potential change and see if they can tell me what are the changes that can be coming through, because we don't know.
How to do it, yeah.
Yeah, how to do it.
And general tell
and that's
us how
a,
to do it.
That's a positive growth for the employee.
Right.
To
and
be
you
able
know, like
to.
In the state of California, if you're looking at like an executive, if you're looking at an executive one... Mm-hmm. Executive Assistant 1.
Right.
It'll say right on there, the first thing it says is, this is the entry level to this
entry
job
level.
Series. Right, but that's not an entry level job. But it'll say, this is the entry level in this job series. And then when you go up to Executive Assistant 5, then it's going to say, in you know, successful completion of Executive Assistant 1, 2, right? 4 plus 4 years experience. So... That's the
again, I can go back to the union and ask, like, how should we? They're going to read it.
No,
and
So I'm assuming in the case of the senior accountant, that's a new position, yes, and it is a senior position with a higher level of education and professional training. Mm-hmm. And it's not a matter of asking the union. I just am more in my head saying, we're just telling the union we're heading
that route.
An exempt employee.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can ask the union.
Because you're creating a new position, and it's not like you're taking a position away from them because then you're adding the staff accountant too.
Because that avoids and you're absolutely right. When you get to the point where you want to elevate somebody to the status of a manager, they're going to say, "Great," but that you can't get rid of the supervisor, you have to rehire another one. I mean, exactly. That's what exactly they're going to say.
Okay, I'll bring that up to union, and then...
No, I don't think anybody I agree completely with what you're presenting. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of classification as union and non-union. I just think...
This is a non-union
It lends itself very much to exempt if they're going to supervise all of these other lower-level accounting staff.
Mm-hmm. Which they do.
And I don't know how many years I would, need to train that person up to the level.
Yeah, so and you're starting here. You're starting here with what you're saying. You're starting with 5 years. I mean, you're hiring a fairly competent, well-trained...
High-level employee.
And we already have that person. Just so you know.
Already works here. Yeah.
Already works here. It's just that we did not use him to the fullest extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That person is a CPA as well.
If you're raising him to that level, then I guess the conversation with the union at that point is, he's no longer in the union. He's an exempt employee.
Yeah.
Okay, so from this discussion, we are, let me make sure I have your intentions correct, to approve these positions to go to the union, both as written with one exception, and that would be the senior accountant changing from a non-exempt employee to an exempt employee with no bargaining unit.
Right now it's an exempt position. It's just moving forward the intent is to bring this person to be an exempt position. How would we word our job?
Didn't you just say he was already an exempt?
He's a salary person. I'm getting confused with the exempt and non-exempt, he's a salary person. I'm sorry. He's an hourly person.
Yeah, he's represented by the union.
Oh, is he?
He's a union person.
So is it your intention to make the senior accountant non-represented by the union right now and then change that person who's currently in this role doing these duties to a non-exempt employee?
And then if you're going to hire, you're hiring into the union position.
Yeah, we're hiring into the union position, which is that AP position, which we're just changing to a staff accountant. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
So it's your intention to make the senior accountant to be non-union, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you're both in favor of that going to the board. Well, I think it'll go to the union first and then the board.
And the board, yeah.
Well, so if they're okay, because the board needs to approve that before I take that to the union. I don't want to waste their time.
Yeah.
So the board has to approve that, mm-hmm. and then I'll go and take that to the union.
So we'll have this on for the 27th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that's how I can put it in my budgets also.
Okay.
I wanted to make a couple of comments because looking at this and listening to, what your needs are, I really want to support this because you've done so much work so far in straightening this out. I hate to think of us, because we didn't have the right people in the right places, going backwards. This has been a multitask process, mm-hmm. and having the right people and the number of people that you need to continue going forward with the process that you've already started, and making sure that the right people are in the right place to keep the organization and the structure functioning the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
So I'm definitely think that this is the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that is my favorite topic, and I'm making a joke out of that, is it's, we've spent years combining finance and admin, and it's ridiculous. That's all I can say. It's ridiculous.
It's
There's
too much.
No way that finance and admin in this organization can function. Very unusual situation where somebody who was finance and director of finance would be also equipped or with the set of skills to be the admin manager. And I think that... that we have to address that. We have to make sure that's addressed and that's in the org chart so that we don't have one person doing two jobs because they're different jobs.
We can wait until the GM comes in and then they can make all the changes.
I'm not a big fan of waiting till the GM comes in to do everything.
I unfortunately have a 12:30 meeting with a performance appraisal.
Yeah.
Did I say 10:30?
Yeah.
And I need to go now.
That's okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks for presenting this, and it really makes a lot of sense. And so that comment was my
Yeah, sure.
One of my favorite issues as far as finance and personnel and admin and all of that goes going forward. Just to make sure that those two department heads, or not that department heads, but that finance and admin are not under one structure.
Yeah, that they're going to get separated.
Right. Okay. So next we have maintenance worker job description. Travis?
Yeah, I want to squash this. The intention of this job description was to create a position that would be limited, so that way if the person didn't work out, we could remove the person from the position. We used to do that through the probationary period, but HR to go has made that more difficult to do. Mm-hmm. So the intention was that Corey had was to make this as an entry level position, and if the person worked out, to potentially put them to utility one. But since the HR to go has recommended that we cannot put the limited term in there, we have the utility one position, which is an entry level. So there's no reason creating another job description or another job.
So they would go.
They're just going to go in as a utility one, like we've
one,
always done.
Which we have.
Yeah.
A job description for.
Correct.
Et cetera.
So, but all of this was brought to my attention after this packet was made. So I spoke with Amelia regarding the direction that we should go, and I've also spoke with Corey, and it's an agreement.
Okay.
So just want to remove just...
We're pulling this item.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Next item is
add the equipment mechanic position.
So I've spoke with Cecilia, and I've also requested that we add a second equipment mechanic, one to support the current one that we have, and to help with all of the work that the district
has. Talked about that.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
I think last year at budget time.
Correct. And Cecilia has put this in the budget. There's no changes to the job description. This is just the job description. I was told that it had to come here for mm-hmm. the stamp of approval to move forward adding a second FTE position.
Yeah, I don't see any issue with that. We've talked about it, like I said, in the past. I was surprised that we hadn't done it yet. But this is budget time, and this is the time to do it.
So, so we're adding this position to the budget.
I want to, one other thing, because, and we'll be talking about this in the Improvements Committee, the current CIP list.
Mm-hmm.
If we do add a second equipment mechanic position, we're going to need to buy another maintenance vehicle.
Right.
Not to the extent that has a boom like our current mm-hmm. one, but just like an F-350 with toolboxes and stuff on there.
Okay.
So, because those are going to go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Did you add that to your CIP?
It was on my CIP, cool. But it was not. It was a
wish list and not its number one
right,
or two priority.
But if this goes through, then that right. would go to
would
as
to
part
happen.
Of the
right.
yeah.
Okay, are we all?
So then is it the intention of this committee to move the maintenance worker
yes,
position to the budget?
No, the equipment mechanic.
I'm sorry, thank you.
Yeah.
The equipment mechanic.
The second mechanic position.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
As equipment a full-time mechanic. Employee to the
So
yes,
with
budget.
What we put out in the 218,
That position was already included.
Yes, about, Cecilia had added.
Okay, all of that's in there?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes.
Then that's not a problem.
Right.
Very good.
Okay.
Okay. Update on the general manager recruitment, discussion item 4.
That's me.
Yep.
I am so happy to report that Carl at Peckerman McKinney has been phenomenal. He's on the ball with everything. I know the directors saw the beautiful brochure that he put together for us. I have color copies. He's mailed us some. There's a color copy in each of your boxes. And I have some up at the front desk, too, in case anybody wanders in and thinks they want to give this, throw their hat in this ring. He has the job now posted live on 8 different government and local organization websites.
That.
You got this.
I got that email. Yeah.
So about 16 different platforms in all, including job boards, magazines, media. The application and recruiting period closes on May 30th, and he will keep us all informed during the recruiting stage. So May 30th will be the end of the recruiting period, and then the second week in June, last week in June is when we hope to have the actual interviews. I want to say it's the last week in June. So you'll have a chance to look at final resumes and applications and packages and get their decision.
So is his intent, what level of screening is he going to perform when he gets all these 100 applications?
He's going to weed it down to about 6 applicants is what he was hoping to have for us. And he will have, initial conversations with them. I think he'll wait to do the background check and the reference checks until after you've chosen your best candidate. Right. But he's going to, and we've all talked to Carl. He was a former city manager himself. So he has a very good feeling for, can this person do this job? And he'll be conducting
the brochure,
initial...
it's like soliciting for a job in Nirvana.
Right? Well, sure. That's what it's like to work here, too.
I asked him to change a couple of the expletives.
Well, with all the criticisms we get on Nextdoor, we should have at least 50 people from the community applying for the job.
Right?
They all know best. So maybe, so I'm assuming they'll come in and apply for the job.
Oh,
It'll
sure.
It'll take 16 hours to do the... To do the candidate night.
Yeah.
There'll be so many.
Right.
Because everyone knows better than we do.
Yeah, that's true.
Additionally,
a little sarcasm.
As soon as
East Coast sarcasm.
I think that he's going to start with the recruitment for the director of operations right away now. I'll double check with him. But that was my impression.
Good.
At the worst case, by doing that, he's got a collection of resumes to start with.
Exactly. And then the general manager gets to weigh in because that person will be here about a month.
That's true.
On the director of operations. Right. The director of operations gets to know who the general manager is. So I'm very positive about all of this. Not only will the board have the chance to meet your final candidates, but so will Travis and Cecilia and I have a chance to meet those final candidates and have a peer interview with them, which is vital for an organization of this size to be able to talk to.
I want to say something. when we get to the point where we have 2 or 3 candidates,
yeah,
we need to meet them. I don't want to.
That's not the way it's going to work. Once he has all 6, we're hoping for, it might only be 3 final candidates, but when he has his final candidates that he's comfortable with, he's going to put them all forward at once.
That's what I was
looking for. When he has all the final candidates that he's comfortable that they can do the job here for us, then he'll put them all forward at once so that you get to have the menu of people to think about.
My point being that I've never talked to more than one person. And that can't happen again. The board needs to be involved in, that's our job, actually, is to pick a general manager. And so if he's going to present us with 6 people, great. All I wanted to make sure is that he doesn't, or anybody doesn't, make all these decisions about the final candidates, and we only get presented with one. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I completely, and okay. I agree entirely.
Okay.
And I think that every single person on the board, it kind of almost seems like just two people from the board sat in initial interviews, and then they picked from the top six their top three. I would like to have full board participation
yes.
in asking questions. And if it's a public meeting, so be it. And they'd like to have it be all secret squirrel, so everybody doesn't know anybody else. Okay, so
I don't think it has to be.
Isn't that person just going to interview with the board as their interview?
That can all be closed session
because that's
one of the things. Yeah.
Right.
So then I could have you all together. We could have it in this room.
I would.
Anyway,
we can think about that because, you know, first of all, when you start with six, I don't think I want to talk to six. The board can come to a consensus on selecting three of mm-hmm. the six.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason you can't go back if the three
don't.
Bomb out, you go
right.
get
okay.
another one.
Okay.
But, and then at that point, we can talk about when there's three, it's a lot more manageable
mm-hmm.
as, you know, some board members may want to talk to all three, some may not. And then collectively, I think the ultimate decision is the, you know, the collaborative interview with the first and maybe second candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never been, and we were in my generation, we were never taught to consent to a gang up interview. If you're interviewing for a job, you never let more than one person interview you at a time.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
So
well, that's not
that
how this
be.
Is
no,
going to work.
No, I know. That's not what happens.
That's not
here,
what's going to happen
but
here.
Not yeah. a lot of what happens where I come from happens here.
And so then something
but
else.
The last three would be separate.
They're interviewed separately.
Yeah.
So it would be however many of the board wants to participate
yeah.
with
yeah.
them
right,
individually.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, oh, I.
Let's see if he gets six. If he gets six, we'll worry about it. But, you know, everybody wants to work in Nirvana, so you should get six.
And so another thing that happens in the public sector is that they will often invite somebody from another organization to come in and interview our person. And sometimes you don't even know who that person from that organization is.
What?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. They'll have a peer.
No.
Yeah.
The last director.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You go.
The last director, when we interviewed for the director of operations
yeah.
position,
yeah.
there was Mark, there was Mimi, there was Donna, and then there was two
Donna.
Superintendents from different water departments. Well, and it's the smart thing to do for that. I don't know about for the general manager, but you want technical people
absolutely.
From other
absolutely.
Places.
I was reacting to that are
non-partial, that don't even know the people.
Right.
General manager might be different. I don't know if you want to pull a GM from a like say Carmichael or Fair Oaks or wherever.
What I'm going to do is see what Carl's feelings are on that, and I'll
yeah.
present that next month.
Like the operations person, you say, look, you know, when you face the mirror in the morning, there are two handles. One says H, and the other says C. Tell me what those mean.
First question.
They mean hiccup, and can I do that?
Okay, so then.
Well, I think.
Would you like.
Just for clarification.
Yes, ma'am.
We're not going to be necessarily treating these positions the same. In other words, we are going to have a process for the general manager, and then we will have a different process probably for the water operations manager.
And depending on timing, a lot of it will be, you know, if we have six candidates engaged in picking a GM, we may just put those six operations ones in our back pocket until we finish process
exactly depending on where their skills lie.
And then let the new GM have the input and final say on
number
two.
Absolutely.
Would
yeah.
you like me to report this to the board at
mm-hmm.
this meeting?
Mm-hmm.
At what meeting? You mean
the May meeting?
The May meeting?
At the 27th,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Just put it in your report or whatever you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Any other directors and staff comments or suggestions? No?
Nope.
Okay. It's 10:44 and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.